Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Just go out and play. Whatever happened to that ancient phrase? With developmental and other issues, it's such a struggle for many kids to play with other children. From a parent's perspective, what can we do to help kids who need greater social competence? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest works specifically with children's social issues. Kathy Cohen is a licensed clinical social worker and is director of INSTEP, which provides its Stepping Stones program of counseling and therapy services for children, teenagers, and adults. Kathy has written Raise Your Child's Social IQ, Stepping Stones to People Skills for Kids, and Outnumbered, Not Outsmarted, an A to Z guide for working with kids and teens in groups. Kathy has visited with Parents' Perspective before. She's the mother of two sons and a daughter. Welcome back to Parents' Perspective, Kathy.
Thank you. It's wonderful being here.
Kathy, what's our biggest misconception about children's social competence?
I think there's a couple of major misconceptions that parents have about children in their social competencies. Number one is a lot of parents blame themselves. They say if their child's having trouble making friends, it's because they have poor social skills themselves. And we get a lot of judgment from parents about other parents also, that they must have poor social skills if their children don't relate well to others. And I've not found that to be the case at all. I find that there are children who are socially very proficient, and they have the same parents as children who struggle to make friends and keep friends. And another big major misconception is that it's fixed at birth, that we have children who are born with poor social skills and it is a fixed commodity and they will never learn them and they won't have friends and they won't be able to keep friends. And that's the one that makes me the most sad, because their kids make a whole lot of progress in making and keeping friends if they're taught the skills that are necessary to do so. And some kids don't need to be taught. They just are born with a very high social IQ. And other children, on the contrary, it's Greek. The language of social relationships is foreign, and they need the skills broken down into sets that they can easily understand and practice so that they can learn the skills they need to make friends.
You're referring to little babies. How do we know if we have a little infant, if that child has any social problems?
It's hard to tell with infants. That's a very good question. But you can you get a feel from some children, especially toddlers, if they don't have good eye contact. That's kind of a warning sign. If a child looks in his mom or his dad's eyes and smiles in relation to a face, that's a very good first social step. And when you see that, it makes you feel really great. And as they grow and develop, and they become 2 or 3 or 4 years old, they begin to share space well with other kids. And they may not play with other children. Sometimes parents are worried about their four-year-old that plays alongside another child but doesn't dialogue with another child. That's pretty typical at the age of 4, that children are still parallel playing. They're playing alongside each other. They may be doing very similar activities, but they may not be talking to each other and asking each other questions. Sometimes that concerns parents, and that's perfectly appropriate if they're doing a parallel play at age 4. If they're age 10 and they're still parallel playing and they're not engaging their peers, then that would be a warning sign that there's some social issues that need to be looked into.
Well, when you're talking about the ages that we're dealing with here, is there a benefit to early intervention? And if so, how early can we pick this up and do something about it?
We found in doing our social skills training groups at INSTEP, we begin at age 4. Before age 4, we may work with the parent and the child together to develop social skills. But at age 4, we start putting them into groups with other children. And initially, when we started the program in 1990, I had maybe one group of 4 or 5 year olds that would meet in an ongoing way. Children would come in, we'd practice skills, they would graduate. When they started to learn the skills, new kids would come in. Now we have 10 groups that are 4 or 5 year olds each week.
Now, if you have kids that are that young, and you were saying that it's perfectly normal for kids not to engage at age 4 or 5 or so, how are people picking up cues that these are kids who need help?
You know, the kids who are parallel playing and sharing space in a nice way are doing just fine. They don't need an extra boost from us to learn social skills. We usually find that our little ones, 4, 5, 6, 7 year olds, are getting referred to us because of, in very broad categories, one of two reasons. One is because they are aggressive with other children. They are grabbing toys, or they're hitting other children, or they may be, their boundaries are poor. They're like puppies and they're doing a lot of banging, more than a typical 4 or 5 year old. That would be one sort of general characteristic of children who might need some social skills boosting from parents. And the other is the child who isn't engaging at all, the child that doesn't have eye contact, who really has no interest in other children and may not be able to have cycles of communication at all. When I'm talking about cycles of communication, I'm talking about a question, which is followed by an answer, which is followed by another question, which is followed by an answer. By age 4 or 5, children should really be able to have 3 cycles of communication with someone, an adult, another child, where they'll say to their parent, for instance, "Mom, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat?" And the mom says, "Sure. What would you like?" And the child responds, "Well, I'd really like a cheese stick." That's already, we're going on to 2 cycles of communication. And that's pretty typical for a 4 and a 5 year old. The kids that we see that come in, they don't question. They don't ask questions necessarily. Or if they do ask a question, they may not listen to the answer. Really hard to actually engage in a give and a take in a conversation.
Is this also wound up with language then? Because it sounds like language development is a part of the diagnostic tool that you're using.
Language development is key, and sometimes it is difficult. We tend to get kids who have already been evaluated by either children's hospital, or maybe they've gone to a neurologist or their pediatrician, or they've gone to a speech and language pathologist who've kind of ruled out certain issues. We do see children with speech and language issues, and that's the major bulk of it. And then we also see children who may be on the autistic spectrum, for instance, where speech and language certainly has a play, but it may not be primary, it may be secondary.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion with Kathy Cohen about children's social competence.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Kathy Cohen about children's social competence.
Would you talk a little bit about some of the characteristics or skills of social competence for preschool and elementary age kids?
With the preschoolers, what you really want to see is children being able to play alongside other children nicely and follow the rules of a preschool. If one of the rules is to stay on their mats, that they're able to stay on their mats. If there's a little circle time where the teacher's reading a book, the child at age 4 or 5, generally speaking, can sit. Maybe not all day long, because that would be very difficult. But they can sit and listen to a story, and they're not wandering off and around and picking up objects, and they can follow simple directions when they're 4 or 5. When they're getting to be older, you really can see children who have very high social IQs. They sort of stand out. Not all children have either high social IQs or low social IQs. Most children, it's along a bell curve, and most children are somewhere in the middle. They have some really great social skills, and then they struggle in certain areas of social skills. The children who have very high social IQs, these are the children that you'll notice will come into a group and they immediately can size up the dynamics of the group. They can tell you just by looking around who's friends with whom, who just had an argument that morning with their parent before they came to school. They can easily modulate their feelings and emotions. They can solve problems in a very creative way, coming up with multiple ways to solve problems, not just the same problem over and over again. They read other people's body language and facial expressions very well. So if you give a child who has a very high social IQ a look that indicates they're out of line, they'll change their behavior in accordance to that look that an adult or a peer has on their face. These children are very remarkable. You can go down the list and they've just got them all. There's not that many children like that. Most children are somewhere, as I say, in the middle, where they have certain areas where they may have little trouble. And then the children that we see who have really social challenges, these are the children who really have trouble reading body language, facial expressions. Some of the children may not see the facial expressions because they're so kind of into their own thing, and what's happening up in their head is very much more interesting than what's happening outside of them. And then others, they may see a facial expression or a body language, but they just have no idea how to interpret it. And they may interpret it negatively when it isn't negative. And that can get them into some trouble with their peers because they'll say, so-and-so is being mean to me, when so-and-so really wasn't being mean, or that she really likes me. I could tell she really, really liked me. And then the facial expression, if you were looking at it, would indicate not so much like there. So children who struggle, it has to be broken down step by step, starting with pretty basic skills and then working on getting more and more complex in developing those skill sets.
Are there social skills that are different for older kids?
The children in elementary school are beginning to have perspective-taking skills. Little kids, we wouldn't expect them to be able to put themselves in another person's shoes. They might feel empathy. Empathy develops very early. You can see babies will start crying when other babies are crying, or toddlers get very sad if you look sad. If an adult's crying, they might crawl into your lap and try to make, you know, an adult feel better. That's beginning empathy, which is really a wonderful skill that all of children need to develop and be successful as adults. Perspective taking is a little more high level. It's when children are able to say, you know, I don't want to behave this way because if that ever happened to me, that would really hurt my feelings. You know, more the golden rule, doing unto others as you have them do unto you, because they can understand what it feels like to be another person. That is an elementary school age skill that develops. As far as stability of friendships, the other difference between elementary school age children and younger children is younger children are very activity-focused friends. They go to gymnastics and they say, I made a best friend. They go and they play t-ball and I've got my best friend. The activity ends, that's the end of the friends. When they get to be elementary school age, the friendships stabilize. And you'll see that they have friends that stay over time regardless of the activities that the children play. You know, my oldest son, who's now going to be a junior in high school, he has a friend from third grade, and they're still really good buddies. They didn't go to the same middle school. They don't go to the same high school, but they still maintain their relationship with each other. That's a skill that you'd want to see developing somewhere in the middle elementary school age range.
How can we as parents encourage social skills if our child seems uncomfortable socially?
That's a very tough one, especially as they get older. When you get children focusing on social skills and friendship really young, you have a whole lot more power as a parent because you get to set the play dates, you get to make the calls, you get to bring them to the playgrounds and put them into little youth groups or sign them up for things because they kind of more willing to go with the flow. As they get older, third grade, you know, fourth grade, fifth grade, you certainly aren't going to want your mom calling and setting up your play dates. And so you've kind of got that window of opportunity where you can do a whole lot with increasing socialization when they're young, when they're in preschool, even toddlerhood, early elementary school. By then, you've hopefully built what's necessary for your child to continue by making phone calls and setting up different social relationships. But people who have older kids and they're just starting to realize, oh my, my 16-year-old doesn't have good social skills or seems to have trouble relating, all hope is not lost. You may not be able to schedule play dates, but you can certainly schedule family outings where you involve other teenagers. You can still talk to your teenager when they are upset about something and try to work them through certain issues that are happening socially. You still have certain opportunities when they're teenagers if things are starting to go sour. You can have requirements. You know, you must do at least one sport each quarter, or you have to have one activity if they are not really into sports. I have one son that's really not that into sports, but he does have to have some kind of an activity or an outlet that he can enjoy that's social. There are other kids around so that he gets that exposure. And they do get a lot of exposure in school. Just that sometimes, you know, the school does not provide the same kind of support that other kinds of activities can provide.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion with Kathy Cohen about children's social competence.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Kathy Cohen about children's social competence.
If you're lucky enough to have picked this up when your kid is small, anywhere from toddler on to early elementary school, what kinds of exercises and things can we as parents do to support growing social skills?
I think that you're doing modeling all the time, and that's very important. You're modeling good social skills all the time. As a parent, you're calling your friends on the phone in front of your child, and you're calling, I'm just calling to check in. That's all very important. Asking questions and showing interest to your friends and other adults, being kind, all those modeling skills are really very important. That's number one. And that doesn't necessarily happen automatically. You may not focus that much on social skills yourself. You may be someone who really friendships aren't all that important to you. And it might take some thought for you to model those skills, given the fact that it really just doesn't matter to you that much. The second thing that you can do as a parent is prompting. Prompting is an important skill, and I find that prompting children to use their friendship skills is a nice way to encourage good skill sets, particularly if you can have a conversation with your child before a social situation, and you can sit down and say, you know, you're going to a birthday party. What do you think would be three ways that you can make a friend at your birthday party? Oh, I don't know. I could say hi. Oh, saying hi, that's a great way to make a friend. And what's your face going to look like when you say hi? Are you going to be like this, frowning? Or are you going to have a big smile on your face when you say hi? Oh, I'm going to have a big smile on my face. That's great. So number one, you're going to say hi. And number two, you're going to have a big smile on your face. What's one more thing you could do? Oh, you know, I don't know. Well, remember last birthday party? It was sort of hard to get with the flow of the rest of the group. They were all playing a game and you weren't really sure how to join in. Would going with the flow at this birthday party, would that be helpful? Yeah, but I don't know how to do, I don't know how to go with the flow. I don't know what you mean. Well, would it help you to practice? And children love role playing. They love practicing, especially when you play them, because you're playing the hard role, which is them, and they get to play other children. They love doing that, especially if they're role playing something like teasing or bullying. They don't know how to handle it. It's really great if you can play them, the victim of the teasing or the bullying, and they can play the other children who are doing the teasing. They just love that. That's really great. And then once you've modeled a couple different ways of handling a situation, you reverse roles and you let them practice. Then they're more comfortable and they don't feel like they're put on the spot. So role playing, prompting, modeling, there are games that you can play too. You could play a communication game at the dinner table with the family. Siblings are great for increasing social skills. Sometimes they drive you kooky because they do a whole lot of fighting, but they learn a lot from those negotiations too. And sometimes it's important as a parent. I know for myself, it's really important to say, this will pass. This is building skills. I have to tell myself this so that I don't drive myself crazy with the fighting. And playing communication games at the dinner table is a great way to increase everybody's social skills.
Now, we've talked about parents. What about teachers? How can we enlist teachers to help children develop social competence?
Teachers are with a child 8 hours a day, so they're really important. And the dynamic within the classroom is such a great ground for developing friendships. And I've seen some amazing teachers that are just wonderful at creating a space in the classroom where everybody's nice to each other, empowering the children to call each other on negative behavior and reinforce positive behavior. My daughter had a second grade teacher this past year, and this teacher was just marvelous at developing friendships within the classroom. She would have lots of activities that they did as groups together to earn points and special privileges together as a group, as a classroom. She never punished the class for one child's negative behavior. Instead, she would try to distract, reframe, incorporate that child into the major social network of the class. She did such a wonderful job. Guidance counselors also are very helpful to teachers. If there is a conflict within the classroom, guidance counselors are really trained to work with any kind of negative behavior.
Kathy, in addition to your books, Raise Your Child's Social IQ and Outnumbered, Not Outsmarted, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to pursue some of the issues we've been discussing a little further?
I'll start with my website. It is www.instep.com. And we have lots of articles. We have a blog that you can go to talking about upcoming events and other ideas for you. It's amazing what is on the internet these days. I mean, some of it is not so great, but there are really some wonderful websites out there. So I'm going to just give a few websites that I think might be useful. One I thought was very good is lifefamilyeducation.com. They have articles about everything, but I noticed that they have a fair amount of articles on friendship and developing friendship and how parents can be coaches to develop friendship skills. There's parenting.caboose. www.parentsperspective.com. For parents whose children have special needs, maybe they have learning disabilities or ADD, ADHD, which sometimes have concomitant kinds of social issues, these are great websites. AttitudeMag.com. Only it's ADDITUDE, mag, MAG.com. There's LDOnline.org. That's a very good website for LD children and parents. Child Parenting on About.com. And then there's a couple of books I've read that I really thought were interesting. There is a book that was written a few years ago by a PhD, Fred Frankel, and his book is called Good Friends Are Hard to Find, Help Your Child Find, Make, and Keep Friends. There is a book by Hera Estroff Marano, M as in Mary, A-R-A-N-O, Why Doesn't Anybody Like Me? A Guide to Raising Socially Confident Kids. There is a book by P.G. Zimbardo, Z-I-M, as in Mary, B-A-R-D-O, Shyness, What It Is and What to Do About It. And there's a newer book called The Unwritten Rules of Friendship, Simple Strategies to Help Your Child Make Friends By. And that's by Natalie Madorsky-Ellman and Eileen Kennedy Moore. The Friendship Factor, Helping Our Children Navigate Their Social World and Why It Matters for Their Success. And that's by Kenneth H. Rubin and Andrea Thompson. Those were some books that I found useful.
Well, you have been such a resource for us and for our listeners. We really appreciate your help and your guidance. So, Kathy Cohen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's really great to see both of you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of one of Kathy Cohen's books, Raise Your Child's Social IQ, Stepping Stones to People Skills for Kids, or Outnumbered, Not Outsmarted, an A to Z guide for working with kids and teens in groups. Just let us know which one you would like. Call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 377 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.